Well, joining us here today on Hoosier Ag Today is Megan Van Loo with Hackman Family Farm Market, based in Jackson County in southern Indiana. And not only do they have corn and soybeans that they produce, they also produce watermelons. They have several hundred acres of watermelons and other vegetables that they produce on their family farm. And they also use immigrant labor to help them harvest their watermelons and their produce. But they have significant challenges that they've faced by using the H-2A visa program. Megan, what can you share about the challenges and the personal struggles that your family have faced going through the process to have farm labor with the H-2A visa program?
Actually, we're up to 300 acres of watermelons at this point. We have really increased our acreage in the last few years. And with that being said, we have to rely on foreign labor. We're up to about 70 to 80 guys in our harvest crew that come in August, pretty short season, as you know, when we can harvest. And we, like many other producers, are looking for help during that specific period of time for trained employees that can do the specific job, which in our case, they need to know when watermelons are ripe as far as cutting, but then they have to be able to physically pack, pick all those watermelons. So in our case, our local workforce cannot support our needs. So we're looking then elsewhere. Who can we find that can fulfill these needs? And the only place we've been able to find that is through the H-2A program, through foreign workers. There's not enough people locally that are strong enough, educated enough as far as trained in this specific field, or willing to do the work. We just have really no other option. So our issue with the H-2A program is how cumbersome it is, how expensive it is, how restrictive it is, even though it's our only option. So we're kind of between a rock and a hard place where we only have one option to find the help, but we have to follow all the rules, whether we like them or not, to get them. And currently at the state they're in, it's very, very expensive to bring, in our case, all these guys in to harvest. Of course, some people have full families, wives. In our case, we only have men that are between the ages, you know, of like 18 and 40 that can come in and do the work that we need done.
Chatting with Megan Van Loo here on Hoosier Ag Today. She's with Hackman Family Farm Market in Jackson County. One of the main issues when I've talked to you and many other folks regarding farm labor, the H-2A visa program, is the short amount of time that these workers are, in fact, allowed to be in the U.S. because it's only a 9-month period maximum that they're allowed to stay. But if you're working in the dairy industry, if you're working the beef industry, pork industry, that's not a seasonal job. That's a year-round job that requires many of these workers to be here for many more than 9 months at a time. And I know that's been one of the big issues regarding the H-2A visa program, Megan.
In a lot of those industries, such as you said, dairies or hog farms, they work year-round. And what happens is those farmers have to file then for multiple petitions. With every worker comes a new petition. They have to then reapply for new petitions then every 9 months. And what they're having to do is juggle multiple because they need those farm workers to overlap. Well, it's adding extra costs, not only for the farmer, but it's adding extra costs to the government because they're doing more paperwork. And it's costing extra time and effort for the employee as well, because then they have to find new work every 9 months. What they're looking for is an extended petition time where they're allowed to stay for at least a year, or if they've already been vetted, maybe even longer. That way there's consistency within your company. Any employer knows that return employees are the best employees because you don't have to retrain them. They know what they're doing. You can move on to do the next job when you know somebody else knows, you know, their job. Nobody wants to babysit employees. So it's not just unique to our field. It's any employer in general. The longer you can keep an employee, the better. Overall, I feel like it makes for a happier workplace. The ins, the outs, the new people coming in all the time, it's overall not effective, and it's causing a lot of Hoosier farmers specifically, but I mean that rules across the country, extra costs, just putting them at a disadvantage.
Megan, I know another issue that many farms are facing regarding the farm labor program, the H-2A visa program, is the adverse effect wage rate. What can you tell me about that and some of the issues involved with that here, Megan.
Yeah, so what you said was adverse wage effect rate. We refer to it as AWER, and I'll refer to it as AWER because it's a very cumbersome term. The point of the rate is to make sure that the H-2A program doesn't affect the ability for local workers to fill a local job, and it creates a minimum wage for those foreign workers. So the AWER is determined by a survey that is sent out to a small sample across the country, and they ask for H-2A employers to report what wage employees who do the same job as H-2A workers earn in their local economy. So in theory, the wages should be very similar to what the local economy rate would be. But what's happening instead is after, and of course your employees are required to post those public job listings for any local person who would be available to fill that job requirement. Say it's for a watermelon picker and harvester. Say that's the job. So you're required to post that in a public place, so anybody locally has the ability to fill that position, and you're required to then pay the same rate as you would for an H-2A worker. That's a side note. But if there's no local people who are choosing to fill the jobs that the H-2A workers are filling, what happens is that wage rate is skewed, and it's putting a floor on that price. And instead of seeing an average between local rates and H-2A rate, there is only the H-2A rate to compare to. So when they want to increase every year the wage percentage-wise, it's only based on an artificial floor based on the H-2A rate. So currently we're paying $19.57 per hour. And another thing that is included if you use this program is you're required to cover regulated housing for these employees, transportation, insurance, visa expenses, as well as transportation to and from whatever country they're coming from. So basically, farmers are looking anywhere from $25 an hour to $35 an hour when everything comes into effect. And it is crippling. I don't know that anybody understands that, even when they start with the program, just how extensive it is. And it's all based on this rate. Indiana is part of a region together with Illinois and Ohio. And our rate is $19.57 per hour. The regions are split all over the country. The only place higher than the wage we have here in Indiana is California. And they're at $19.97 an hour. So only a 40 cent difference. The farmers are struggling, especially the ones in the southern part of the state, to comprehend how Kentucky, which is in a different region, is only at $15.87 an hour. So they're competing with Kentucky with a $3.70 per hour minimum difference. And not only is it putting us at a disadvantage with the increased inputs and a smaller margin, but it makes us less competitive to grow and then protect ourselves financially when the year comes to an end, or that year comes when the crop inevitably fails because you can't control the weather. But this isn't just a current problem as far as 2025. Indiana H-2A has increased 32.1% since 2020. So wow. In 5 years, we've seen a 1/3% increase. And I mean, how do you budget for that when the price of Narcisse watermelons hasn't changed and the other people who are harvesting at the exact same time can do it for less? So they're going to sell it for less, and to compete, you have to sell it, you know, you have to be competitive. So it's really just putting Indiana at a disadvantage overall. And it just keeps getting worse. We keep asking for it to be revamped. We've talked to lawmakers. We've gone to Washington. Currently, the only change we've seen is in the wrong direction. So we're looking for change, but not the kind of change we're getting.
It's interesting you mentioned that change, because I know that President Biden, when he was in office, had said, hey, we're looking to make some changes to the H-2A visa program. But the main change with that, it wasn't the changes that you have discussed at all, or you've told me about here as part of our conversation. The main thing that he wanted to impose was he wanted these H-2A workers to be able to unionize, which, to your point, probably not anywhere near what you're thinking of in terms of the farm labor reform that you need.
No, that happened last year, and that at least got a little bit of a freeze as far as that went, but definitely not the change we were looking for. We're looking for a program that wasn't formed in the 80s when Ronald Reagan was in the White House, which is what we currently have. We need a program that's more efficient, that can meet the needs. When this program was started, there was still a local workforce that could fill a lot of those jobs. And times like these, where more students are coming out of college, more Americans are looking for jobs that are no longer manual labor jobs. The program has spiked in popularity, but the problem is the mechanics, the makeup of the program has not kept up with the times. Having to predict when you're going to need help, like some of these seed companies are having issues with months and months before they need them, puts them in a huge bind, because you haven't even finished getting your orders in yet. You don't know how much work you're going to have to do, but you have to put in an order for how many people you want to work. So these guys are having to probably guess an overage of what they're going to need, so they make sure they have help, but then they're required to meet a minimum amount of hours then per week per employee. That's a requirement to be in the program. And so they're really caught, because you don't want too few workers, and then you have to turn away orders, but you don't want too many workers, because then you have to pay to keep them busy, and if you don't have that work, then you're really stuck paying a bill you shouldn't have to pay. So the limits of this program are really showing through, and we're really asking for lawmakers to come together with policymakers to find a solution for us, and a solution that's not only more competitive as far as price and the cost of the program, but also the manageability of the program and how easy it can be to legally bring workers in the United States, to make it easier to do the right thing, to follow the rules, to do it the way it's supposed to be done, so we can avoid any illegal workforce competing with local workforce. We don't want that. Of course, if there were 100 people in Jackson County who would be willing to pick watermelons and knew how to do it, I would for sure be using them, because at this point, the H-2A program is a pain in the rear. But I can't. I have no other. I don't have that option. So I'm looking through the government at this point to help me fill the needs of my labor shortage.
Well, and Megan, to your point, by the way, chatting with Megan Van Loo with Hackman Family Farm Market, based in Jackson County here on Hoosier Ag Today, as we chat about farm labor reform and the H-2A visa program. There seems to be this clumping together in the minds of so many folks here across the U.S. that when you're talking about farm labor reform, you're talking about undocumented workers, those who are here illegally, farmers who may be using the work illegally, paying folks under the table and not using this process. You and your family are doing everything right and by the book and legal and as clean as possible, because that's the right way to do it. But yet you're still being handcuffed, Megan.
Exactly. And I mean, in our personal experience, we've had workers who've gone to the local Walmart to get groceries, and slurs have been tossed their way because of the way the media is currently portraying anybody who's from foreign defense, specifically Mexico or Central America, that everyone here must be here illegally. And it's not true. It's not fair. I think it's embarrassing for local America, for Americans, at least in Jackson County, that they are responding like this. I mean, it's hard because you see where they're coming from as far as what they've seen on the news, but it's not the case in this program. This program is, we are welcoming these immigrants to fill a need so that America can be food independent. So we are not relying on another country to bring our food into our country. Like you saw during COVID, how restricted it is what you'll live without if you're relying on another country. And in the case of food, there's no bigger defense than having your own food supply. And if we cannot bring these other people in to fill this need, then we just will no longer be able to grow our own food. Asparagus, strawberries, all these fruits and vegetables are already being outsourced. Things that we used to grow that we can no longer afford to grow here in the United States because the labor is so expensive. Even though we could, if we could bring the labor here. And I think that's something that people need to think about when they realize the importance of this program is just how important it is to be food independent. And farmers in general need to be, they are the heart and soul of this country. Without them, we're importing all of our food in general. But currently, you know, we're feeding the world. And like you said, handcuffs is exactly right. We're trying to come up with a watermelon picker, CJ. Like, we are desperate. And $1 million watermelon picker would be cheaper than 4 years of my labor bill. It would pay for itself. And I know this is the kind of opportunity where technology and it gives us a reason to get better. But my workers don't want out of a job. So they're nervous because if I buy a watermelon picker, they no longer have a job. They no longer have a paycheck to send back to their family. They're in a bind. They're nervous. They would take less money if it meant job security for them. And I think that across the board, the people I've talked to, I think we cannot forget how essential those H-2A workers are for us. We treat them as well as we possibly can because we do not want them to leave. Absolutely, we have to have them. So we're going to treat them with respect because we have no other choice. Even if you didn't want to, you have to treat them with respect. And I think it's not that farmers don't want to pay their employees just like any other employee. Of course, you'd want to pay them more if you could. But at this point, it's just trying to protect the farm that they work on so they can continue to have a job. That's at the point we're at. Without the wage adjustment, without a freeze, without some kind of change, we're looking at a lot of farmers who will no longer be able to stay in business.
And Megan, I know that you have been reaching out to lawmakers in Washington, D.C. You've been reaching out to U.S. senators. You've been speaking to congressmen, congresswomen throughout the state. It's going to take Congress to be able to reform this H-2A visa program altogether.
Yeah, and it's not. It starts with the lawmakers, but we've also had meetings with the Department of Labor and the USDA, and who like to point fingers at each other because, you know, well, it's the survey's fault. Where, oh, it's the requirements of the USDA's fault. There's a lot of people involved in this program that I need to come together and really think through how to update this program so that farmers aren't stuck in the middle of paying the bill and going out this in the meantime.
Well, once again, Megan Van Loo with Hackman Family Farm Market based in Jackson County, Indiana. Megan, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story with us here on Hoosier Ag Today. I appreciate it.
Thank you also for making this issue your issue as well. I appreciate that.